So our series comes during a time of lots of reasons to have hope and to want to question our Heavenly Father. What can we do? What would you have us do to get through losses in our lives? If you live a long life like this old man before you, you're going to go through many sweet things, wonderful things that will take place. But you will also go through many things that are very difficult and trying and losses that you never planned to probably be alive for. One of the losses that I've had to be, I don't know that I've had to, but it started making me think. You know, when my kid brother Donnie passed away, I kind of thought that as the older brother, that I would beat him to heaven. But it wasn't so. I really thought that my parents would outlive me, and they did. But I thought I would outlive my son as well, and we know that he beat me to heaven as well. And one of the hardest things that I've been going through in thinking and in prayer, and I've been very selfish, I have to admit, my prayer is selfish. I've admitted it to our Abba Father, that this selfish prayer is exactly that, but I don't know what I would do if I lost Kathy. When you live with someone for 53 years and you have loved someone as deeply as I have loved my wife, I cannot imagine going on in this temporal life without her. So my selfish prayer is that I get to go before her and she has to deal with all the things that one has to deal with in the passing of a spouse, but she'll be well cared for. So having said those things, we're going to return to our study of getting through life's losses. I began this series with you because of the loss of Ronnie and what the Holy Spirit was taking Kathy and I through. But specifically from my point of view, my relationship with the Holy Spirit and my feelings, my senses of loss as a dad of his son, and so forth. So we began, as you look at page one of your notes, is that I spoke to you about what I have learned about grief. And part of what I've learned about grief, because I can't go through it all, and if you're a newcomer since I've had this nose surgery, if you find that this morning's message wets your whistle at all, you can go online and you can pick up and listen to the entire series if you would like to. But getting through life's losses, I was sharing with you what the Lord was teaching me about grief from the Word of God. He has a sweet way of getting us through the roughest of times. But I have found that even in my own experience, I did not quite understand all that he wanted to do and prepare me for and walk with me in during this time of loss. I shared with you all the various things that I have identified as areas of loss that needed to be dealt with. And we'll go back to that momentarily. On page six of your notes is where we're going to pick up. We already did the basic answering of the action step there. We were looking at how to move forward through grief. And I shared with you, I needed to list the losses that I have been grieved over, because there are a number of them. And I went through all of them with you. I was very transparent, beginning as a little boy and coming all the way up through my 30s and then into the 70s with regard to family members that have gone to be with Christ. We looked at the action step. And since we have already looked at that, I was doing some reading and I caught something that a secularist, a philosopher of many centuries ago, Socrates, had to say. And Socrates said this: the life which is unexamined is not worth living. And I found in talking with many in our church family over many, many months, examining one's life is not something that we typically do. We kind of like live life and let life happen. But our Heavenly Father would ask us to list out the things that are our losses, put them down on paper, and begin to deal with them, with Him. For you who are new with us, we have what we call gnosko time in our lives individually as kids of the Most High God. Gnosko is a Greek term that refers to intimacy. And in this case, it is intimacy with our Lord Jesus Christ. We call it our DPE, our deep personal experience with Him. You might call it your devotional time. You may call it anything else. Maybe you haven't even had one. But the encouragement that comes so strongly from our loving and gracious Heavenly Father is that He wants us to meet with His Son. He wants us to meet with Him every day in our gnosko time, our time of great intimacy. And it's important that we look at our lives, not from Socrates' point of view, but from our Heavenly Father's point of view, that we really go back and look at what has been left undone by way of our losses that affect our lives today. Because I had discovered, going back a few years, that there were things in Ron's life that he had not dealt with over decades. And because he had not dealt with them, they affected his relationship with other people. And so it needs to be, because He has asked us to, for our sake, because He loves us and wants us to be whole and to be able to deal with life in general and specifically when these losses come to us. Because even though I'm 77 years old, there are going to be other losses and significant ones. But now I know of a healthy way to grieve. And He's asked me to share these things with you. And those things now are online for anyone who wants to go back and repeat and or listen to them for the very first time. So this morning, we're going to pick up with point two. If you look there in your message notes, we are to identify what you have already lost. It's not the same of writing out the things you discover you have lost. We are now to understand what it is that we lost. I didn't realize that as a 10-year-old and losing my dad, you know, the man that fathered me, the man that I respected, the man I loved, and to have him move out of my life, to not see him anymore, except maybe three times a year. You know, a 10-year-old little boy needs his old man. He needs you, Dad. And little boys need their granddads too. My uncles and my granddad became my heroes in life growing up. But unfortunately, my brother Donnie and I didn't have Bill Seidel in our lives to make an impact, to help us grow up and be men in this country. So identify what you have already lost. I go back and I look at these things that I've already shared with you in transparency. What did I really lose in that childhood? I wanted to go through and be specific. What did I see other little boys and other young men have in dads that were in the home? And how were they different from me? I went deeper. I went beyond the obvious. Someone may ask some of you. My dad was a man that used drugs or overused alcohol. But maybe you had a dad who was an alcoholic. Maybe you had a parent who was an alcoholic. Maybe you had a parent that was involved in drugs. What did you lose by having a parent like that? Be honest with yourself and write those things out next to that loss. Not having a parent that was normal, if you will. Go deeper. Ask the question. What did you lose as an individual when you lost your job? What is it that you really lost? Well, I lost the paycheck. But what else did you really lose? When I lost my former career in law enforcement, I didn't just lose a job and a paycheck. I lost myself. It was everything I wanted to be. Again, my uncles and my dads, or my grandfather, they were all cops. I wanted to be a cop too. I was a cop. Kathy hated it. And part of the reason I'm not is she prayed. She went to our pastor and had him pray that I get kicked off of night watch and go to day watch. But she has probably shared with some of you ladies at the Bible study, you have to be careful what you pray for, because she got me home 24/7 for 3 years, putting Humpty Dumpty back together again, because I didn't get transferred. I got taken out by going down 40 feet of concrete stairs and fracturing my back in two places. We need to ask ourselves deeper questions. What did you really lose when your parents divorced? If your family was a family that moved around quite a bit, maybe you're a military brat, and they moved a lot. You can ask yourself questions like, what did you really lose in that? What did you lose? Like, did you feel like you lost some stability in your life? Did you lose security, your identity? Someone once said, you know, my parents kept moving and not telling me where they moved to, but I always found them. Did you lose encouragement? Did you feel you lost some sort of credibility in some particular area? Did you lose trust? You need to look past the obvious and say, when that happened to me, that painful thing, or when that loved one died, or when that person walked out of my life, what happened? What did I really lose? And when you discover these things, you will be able to grieve in a healthy fashion and get beyond them. I know it's true. I know those that have done it, and I am in that same process. And it's been very, very helpful. So make a list of your losses that you've never grieved, and then ask yourself, what did I really lose because of these losses? Some of these losses may simply be looked at as setbacks, or you might look at them as not being a setback at all, but a setup for something better that was going to take place in the future. I know that many of my losses, the Holy Spirit has used in your lives and in others, because my losses are nothing new under the sun. But I can give glory and honor to the Lord Jesus as I speak to others who are going through similar or the very same thing. I can share with them how faithful and loving he is, and so very helpful through the entire process. But I have to go through it. Number three, you have the courage to lament. To lament. Not a word we use very often today in America, but the word I want us to consider and what it means and how to apply it in our lives is lament. Lament. I really don't mind getting older. I really don't. But my body is really making itself known and complaining tremendously. Lament. I need to have the courage to just be transparent and lament. Lament is not a word that we use, as I said, much today. It is a word that we find in Old and New Testament. It is a term that the Holy Spirit has used to bring us to the Word of God and to hear directly from our Heavenly Father, because we know that this Bible is the living, active Word of God. And so he speaks to us as we read it aloud in our lives. When we read the word lament, he is talking about our doing something in terms of dealing with, in the case of where we're studying together presently, in the area of loss, grief, to lament in this particular area. It's the kind of action that you must do in order to be healthy. Yes, to be healthy emotionally and spiritually. So the question there in your notes is, what is a lament? A lament is a passionate expression of your grief to Father God. It is a passionate expression on your part to Father God. To lament means I have a passionate expression of grief to Abba. I cry out to Jesus. I may even shout to the Holy Spirit. With the death of Ronnie, I have yelled at our Heavenly Father. I have yelled at our precious and wonderful sacrificing Lord Jesus. I have yelled at the Holy Spirit. The Godhead has heard this arrogant man speak unkindly to a gracious, loving, merciful God, whom I've had the pleasure of serving for nearly 39 years. I may weep, and I've done a lot of that, not just over Ronnie's passing, but I do a lot of that still. Ronnie's birth anniversary was just a few weeks ago, August 20th. He would have had another birthday, but it was his birthday, and it was very hard for Kathy and me to go through that day, remembering the joy of him coming into our lives. We're going to have another anniversary, October the 24th. October 24, 5:25 a.m., Ronnie was killed. These anniversaries are difficult. They come into one's life, whether it be the death of a loved one or the loss of a job or getting a really poor medical report, whatever it might have been or it's going to be. But I've had definitely passionate expressions. I was crying about Ronnie yesterday because Kathy was at a friend of ours' homegoing celebration yesterday, as were a few more of you, because she and her family were part of our church 2 decades ago before moving. And yesterday was her homegoing celebration, Becky O'Brien. Yesterday was a day of weeping for not only Becky and John and their 2 daughters, their family. It was a time where Ronnie just automatically enters in. A lament. Did you know is an act of worship? It's an act of worship. You say, you gotta be kidding me. A passionate expression of grief to our Heavenly Father is worship? Yes, I'm acknowledging one. You exist, don't you, Father? You're there, and you have made certain promises to each of us who are your children. Your love is deep and passionate for each of us who are your kids. Yes, it's an act of worship because you are acknowledging him. You are acknowledging his presence in your life. You are acknowledging that he wants to listen to you, and he is listening to you and will give you answers to your prayers. You say, wait a minute. Look at the question there. Complaining that God can be an act of worship? Some of you do a lot of worshiping, don't you? Complaining to God can be an act of worship. Absolutely. You complain to God That is an act of worship. You complain about God, and that is an act of rebellion. Fill in the blanks and make sure you go back and look that one over again. You may be, did I hear him right? And you did. The fact is this, we usually do the second. At least I know that's what I have done in years past, in particular. We complain about our Heavenly Father. How in the world would you ever think of taking me out of the career that I wanted to have from the time I was 3 years old and force me into being Humpty Dumpty for 3 years, coming through that and being 67% totally disabled and never again able to return to my chosen profession, my career, and to be able to continue to do what my heart's desire has always been, and that is to put criminals away in jail. We complain about our Heavenly Father, and that is sin. My complaints about the loss of my career is sin. My complaints that I have survivor's guilt from the Vietnam War is not his fault. It is what a human being can do and doesn't always have to do. But I have survivor's guilt. 225 of us went away to school together and were placed in Laos and Cambodia, and 27 of us came home. Why in the world did I have to come home? Well, when you think about it, being one of those areas that I needed to take apart. You understand, Ron? That dog tag that was on your chest and said Methodist meant that you were going to hell. Not that all Methodists are going to hell, but this one was, because this one had never come to faith in Christ. Never come to faith in Christ. And I would not have gone anywhere should I have been killed but hell. And he was so gracious and kind that he let me come home and act like an arrogant fool and thinking what he was allowing to take place in my life was somehow wrong, when he doesn't do anything wrong. We complain about our Heavenly Father, and that is sin. But Father God says, you can complain to me all you want. All you want, you can complain to him, because he can handle it. He can handle it. I love what the Holy Spirit shared with us. It's not in your notes. Just came to me a little while ago. Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3. There the Holy Spirit spoke through the prophet, and he speaks to you and me this morning, and he says, call to me and I will answer you. Call to me, he says, and I will answer you. And I will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. And some of the things I've just shared with you this morning were hidden things that I did not know. But he would share these things with me in my deep personal experiences with him. My gnosko time. He would bring me into the present to help me understand why the past for me came about the way it did. He is so very good to us, family. So very good to us. Looking back at your notes, he can handle your rage. He can handle your deep anger. He can handle your rage. He can handle your resentment. He can handle your regrets. He can handle your complaining. And he can handle your accusations. Those kinds of things are hard for us in our humanness, but not for him. He can handle them. And the nice thing is that love that he gave you when you repented of your sins and asked him to forgive you. You remember that moment in your life when that marvelous time was that you would move from the kingdom of the evil one into the kingdom of God? At that moment when that was taking place, he was saying, I can handle anything you can throw at me as my son or my daughter. And that love, that unconditional love that I am giving you upon your salvation, that unconditional love, I'm not going to just give you a little bit of it. It's like someone this past week emailed me and wanted to know if he could ask for more of our God's love. And I had to tell this person, you got it all at the moment that you professed his son as Lord and Savior and received him into your life as your Redeemer, your Savior, your friend. So his love can absorb all of our rage, all of our resentment, all of our regrets, our complaining and accusations. It's like a parent with a little child throwing a tantrum. You ever have one of those parents? You know, we had three kids, and I think I've had three of them wrap their arms around my knees, and they're throwing their little tantrum. The whole world can hear a Seidel making a noise that wasn't particularly wonderful. But they grab your knees and they throw a tantrum. But I can handle that as their father. Kathy could handle that as their mother. Why? Because we're so filled with patience. Yes, we do have the patience that God the Holy Spirit gives us upon our salvation. But what we really have been given is the understanding that this little person that bears our last names is just immature. Immature. And acting out their immaturity. And Abba knows that when Ron is acting out his rage and resentment and regrets and complaints and his accusations, it's because of his spiritual immaturity. But I'm not going to take away my love from my immature son. I'm going to continue to walk with him and help him. Father God can handle your pain. You can tell him anything, absolutely anything you want. Why? Because he already knows what you're going to tell him. He's already seen these losses, these griefs that are going to be coming into your life. He's already well aware of them. And he loves you. And he's not going to go stand on the other side of 40 billion galaxies. He said, I'm going to stay with you always. I will never desert you. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He just wants us to be able to know whatever it is, we can get it off our chest. And he can handle it. You know what I love about the Bible? Is that all the zits, all of the messed up noses, they're all in here. If someone said, God, that stinks, it's in here. They don't hide it. It's here. It's because there's nothing new under the sun concerning me or you. He's just this wonderful Heavenly Father who walks with us through all things. So what I love about this is that even the negative emotions are in here. But he calls us to be people of positive emotions. I'm here with you, Ron. I'm going to be here with you no matter what happens in your life, Ron. If I choose to change your career and move you out from being a pastor, it's not because I don't like you. It's because I've got other plans for you. And you're going to understand that next time around. I'm going to be with you in it all. Even if I let Kathy come to be with me because you know she's so much better than you are. But I also know you will not get along very well without her. So it's my hope he will leave her with me until I go. Father God isn't afraid of our negative emotions. We might be, but he isn't. I love it because it's not all about sunshine and roses and puppy dogs and these, what did the kids have, rainbows and little ponies and unicorns. This Bible is not all about picking beautiful, colorful flowers and talking about peace and romantic love. A lot of life is just simply tough. Really tough. Can we all agree with that? Is life going to be tough? Life can be rough. You know, I used to be able to do cartwheels. It's not as easy as you might think. But I could do cartwheels, front yard, backyard. Now, if you tip me over a little bit, putting on my underwear, I'm going to fall over. Life is rough. And just like the Bible says, there's time to weep and there's a time to rejoice. There is a time to party and there is a time to cry. And that is all part of this temporal life that we find ourselves in presently. Well, I'm going to stop here because I don't want us to miss out on our coming to the table. But family, are you getting thus far? I haven't finished this particular note yet, but you understand, our Heavenly Father, and I'm the delivery boy asking you, please take stock of yourself and these griefs, these losses that you have not really sat down and dealt with and list them out. I list out 10 such major events in my life. And then you go back and you take one at a time. And maybe you take one at a time over the course of a week. And you tear it apart. What because of this loss, have I really lost? In all honesty, have I embellished it, made it more than it is? What have I really lost? And talk to the Lord Jesus and your DPE about it and get it settled and move on and apply the experience to the next loss that you haven't dealt with. Get it? Good. Father, thank you so very much for your presence here with us here in the worship center, this place that has been dedicated, turned over to you. This is for you and a place for us to quietly come and meet with you, apart from that special place in our home or near our home where we go to meet with you privately. Thank you for your tremendous love for us. Father, I personally ask that you come alongside those in my church family who right now have these losses in their life that have not been dealt with, and they affect their lives right now. And that these losses, having not been dealt with, they affect a spouse, it affects their kids, or maybe it affects a parent. So, Father, I pray that they will honestly take what they have heard today, and if they haven't heard it all, if they were tired and resting during part of this, that they'll go online and that they will revisit what you've had to say about how to help them through these losses, how to be able to go through the valley of the shadow and to have you there in the midst of it all and help them to the other end and out of it and be prepared for the next loss, the next grief that will be coming their way. Father, there are new faces in our church family, and I ask that you would minister to them in a very special way this morning as we come to what we call the table. We want so much to thank you again for giving us your Son, the perfect, perfect sacrifice for sins. Lord Jesus, we thank you for having received your mission from your Father, and you having come and going to the cross on our behalf, and there suffering the full wrath, the full punishment that every person on the face of the globe deserves. But you took it upon yourself in love, and there you suffered the pain, the punishment, the wrath we deserve. And in our understanding that you did that, and beyond that, we understand by your Father's grace upon our life, and by that grace alone, through faith alone, in you alone, by our repentance, that you have saved our very souls. You've taken away not one or two of our big sins, but you have taken away all of our sins. Sins of the past, sins, should there have been any sinning that took place this morning, sins in our future, you have taken care of it all. And we want to remember your sacrifice by coming to the table. We want to see and understand again and appreciate the elements, the bread and the contents of the cup. Symbols of your wonderful, wonderful body upon which you took our sins. The cup, representative of your blood, not actually a drop of blood there, but representative that you shed your blood, you gave your life for us as individuals, not just for the world as a whole, but us as individuals, you did this. And by our receiving you into our life, we have been forgiven. And for that, we are ever so grateful. For those, Father, who may be new to be with us today, we ask that they join in with us and that they go through a period of confession and of new repentance of anything that they are aware of, so that they, if they choose to, Father, can once again eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For if we have not come to you confessed and repentant, then you've made it clear in your apostles' letter to the Corinthian church that we are not to eat and drink if we will not from our hearts confess and repent of our sins. Coming to the table is not some tradition. It is a command from you, but only to be followed if we have followed these other commands to be released of any known sin. So may you bless the newcomer in our midst, if they know you, and if they don't know you, Father, if they're here checking you out, may they not eat, may they not drink, until such time as they have confessed and repented of their sins and declared to you that they are so sorry for their sins and are asking you to forgive them and to become their Savior, Redeemer, their God and friend. So these things, Father, we lay before you as GHCCers, as newcomers, and prepare ourselves for this wonderful act that takes place in communion with you by receiving these elements. So it's in Christ, your Son, Father, that we pray. Lord Jesus Christ, please meet us now in a loving, gracious way, as only you know how, for we ask this in your holy, holy, as the angels have said, your holy, holy, holy name. Amen.